Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I have been conducting a new series. I've entitled it One Religion, One Government, One World in Deception. And looking at some of the current events recently that have been in the news, I've four different events that I had wanted to comment on. I've commented now on three of the four. But we're still looking at the information concerning the event most recently, the World Government Summit, which was a globalist, a globalist event on the Arabian Peninsula. And I was commenting on the fact that, of course, and I have been, that there are so many events that are taking place and over the years and still, of course, that are happening that are contributing to the coming one world religion and the one world government that the Bible tells us will clearly come and will be under the control of the Antichrist in his brief reign. So I looked at an article called the New, it's the New American Magazine, and it was called At World Government Summit, Globalists Push the UN Agenda 2030. And then I read some more articles. So the American Thinker had one. The UN wants to be our world government by 2030. And then I had gone to a New American article that I've saved over the years that was actually from 1992, and it was concerning a similar summit. It was called the Earth Summit in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro. And I had read a little bit from that article called Rio and Beyond, the UN Earth Summit, it was called. And I made the comment that, you know, it kind of reminds me of the old comedy Groundhog Day. These world government summits, you know, they keep coming back around, just sort of like the World Parliament of Religions. They keep coming back around. And then, there are other groups and other groups of false religions and globalists and all kinds of unsavory characters that are coming together to try to build this ungodly antichrist world of the future, thinking that they've got to save the world, and of course their savior, the Antichrist, you know, when he comes, they're just going to go crazy. They're going to be so excited, and they're really going to believe that this guy is the savior because he's going to have their interests in mind, of course, or so they think. And but they are of their father, the devil, because like we all have been before we were born again, or as we still are if we've never been brought into the family of God through Jesus Christ, adopted children of God. And that's the important thing that we need to do, is let people know they need Christ. Commit, you know, complete the Great Commission that the Lord gave his church. All of us true Christians should be sharing our faith and defending the faith and warning of the coming return of Christ, because I believe the blessed hope is an imminent event. I believe he could come at any time, and I think we should be looking for it, and I think we should be letting people know that, you know, hey, this is real. What you're seeing taking place is real. And so I've been doing this series, and I speak a lot about interfaith and ecumenism and such, but right now I've centered in at this point in my outline about the one world government issues, specifically having in mind this recent summit, which I just found out about, as I mentioned last week. Right before I began to start the series, I had my outline all planned out. I had all the things I wanted to share, the articles, etc. And then I saw this at the last minute, and I thought, wow, this is like a divine appointment. This, I'll add this to the list of current events. And originally I had two, and then it went to three, and then it went to four. So, but I want to keep you, you know, up on different things in case you haven't come across them. I know many of you are astute people, and you're aware of the signs of the times, or you want to be, and that's awesome. Anyway, I wanted to share these things with you. So that's where we've been coming from now. And I don't want to repeat myself. But you know what? I'll just move on. Let's just put it this way. There are so many of these world government, earth summits, world government summits, etc., that you can expect more of the same, you know, as we get closer to the return of the Lord. Because the Antichrist is going to fool people through lying signs and wonders, for sure. He's going to have demonic power, for sure. But there's going to be, I believe, there'll be a foundation set, and there'll be people that will be working together with him, even if they don't realize, obviously, who he really is, before he comes. So anyway, I want to go back to the article that I was sharing with you last week called Rio and Beyond, from the New American, June 1st, 1992. I don't have the author of the article. It was not, you know, listed here. So, but I left off. I don't want to start it all over. I read a couple paragraphs. So I will start where I left off. This was not just a media event back in 1992, because that's what they said. Like, if this was just, you know, if this great gathering were only about Sierra Clubbers, socialists, and third world malcontents venting hot air and appealing for a new earth ethic, there would be little cause for serious concern. But even in 1992, this author was saying and observing that there was reason for concern, and how much more so now, these many years later. Anyway, it says, not just a media event. However, the Earth Summit is much, much more than a grandiose media event for Disaster Lobby International and the Worldwide Church of Green Theology. The summit planners have a full plate agenda of concrete objectives that present a clear and present danger, not only to Americans, but to every inhabitant on planet Earth. And of course, I read some of this last week, but I wanted to start somewhere, so we're rereading this. Media attention thus far has focused primarily on progress toward completion of UN agreements on global warming, ozone depletion, and so-called Earth and a so-called Earth Charter, a statement of principles on environmental and economic issues. But that doesn't begin to scratch the surface of what the globalists have planned for Rio and beyond. Over the past 2 years, PrepCom working groups have been busily working on international treaties, agreements, and programs dealing with sustainable development. There's that term again. We hear that over and over. Biodiversity, oceans, coastal waters, fresh waters, air, land use, you know, laws ad nauseum. I won't bore you with all this. I'll just move on to say energy, healthcare, housing, taxation, and on ad infinite and in infinitum. I forgot how to say that word. Sorry. There is virtually no area of human activity or environmental concern that they have not arrogated as their own to plan, supervise, regulate, and control. But population growth, of course. I don't want to leave that out. I meant to mention that. That was in that list, you know, population growth, okay? Healthcare, meant to mention that. Okay. Who are they who are doing all this planning? Besides the hordes of UN bureaucrats, there is an army of ecological experts from Greenpeace, the Sierra Club, Friends of the Earth, Environmental Defense Fund, National Natural Resources Defense Council, Nature Conservancy, Planned Parenthood, Zero Population Growth, National Wildlife Federation, United World Federalists, I mentioned them last week, World Watch Institute, National Organization of Women, World Council of Churches, you know, there's an apostate heretical group if I ever heard one, Socialist International Women, and literally hundreds more of what the UN calls NGOs, or non-government organizations. Of course, the World Council of Churches has always been liberal, far, far left, and just an unbiblical, fake Christian organization. It says, then there are the politicians and their retinues, the anticipated attendance of presidents, premiers, and potentates from 160 countries will not only add tremendous propaganda value, but more importantly, enormous political muscle to the effort to establish a nascent planetary dictatorship under the guise of environmental stewardship. And you know, it's an interesting thought when you realize that, look at all the push in the last few years. Of course, abortion's been with us for quite some time, unfortunately. But look at the push for homosexual marriage. You know, look at the, look at this idea of, let's have homosexual marriage. Well, homosexuals can't reproduce, can they? And abortion, well, you know, that's a good way to kill people, isn't it? You know, zero population growth. You know, we got to stop this growth of all these people, don't we, you know, according to these folks. We've got to save the planet because we're going to run out of resources. You know, there's no God that we can turn to, right? You know, we're God. Anyway, you know, so I think those are two big keys that are pushed so hard these days, this battle over abortion, queer marriage, the promotion of these things, these ungodly, horribly evil things and practices. The new enemy, the end of the evil empire and the concomitant lessening of the threat of a nuclear Armageddon necessitated, this is in 1992, a new planet-threatening menace to justice to justify continued calls for one world governance and expansion of United Nations organization authority. Global environmental deterioration is the new scourge that has been chosen to frighten us into a world dictatorship. And in that regards, of course, there's a book called Report from Iron Mountain, which I'll get into a little bit more later. That's an old book written years ago in the 70s. That's a very interesting book, fascinating thing that we'll get into here down the road. Conservative and free market critics of the Rio summit have tended to focus on the inflammatory socialist rhetoric and the involvement of so many professional environmental activists in planning the proceedings. However, what is far more important, but little noted by most critics, is the dominance of the whole affair by the internationalist banking, big business, media, public policy elites of the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, and Trilateral Commission, and most visible manifestations of what has been called the establishment. Talk of such things is quickly brushed aside as conspiracy paranoia by responsible conservatives who reject out of hand any evidence supporting this thesis. But in this case, the evidence is too overwhelming to ignore. And you know, I'm wary of conspiracy theories. I don't want to lose credibility. And some conspiracy theories, a lot of conspiracy theories, is going to automatically be anti-Semitic, for instance. Some conspiracy theories are basically just off the wall. But then, on the other hand, when the Antichrist comes, he's going to need some help setting up his reign. And to think that there aren't people, elitist people, in positions of power who would not be involved to some degree. You know, the Antichrist is going to have all kinds of lying signs and wonders, etc. But we can't just, like this says, we can't just reject out of hand any evidence, you know, that does support these type of theses, that there is somewhat of a conspiracy going on. Okay, there, I said it. I'm not real big on conspiracy theory, but I know that there will be conspiracies involved. And the Antichrist himself is involved in a conspiracy to fool people into thinking that he's the Messiah. That's a conspiracy, isn't it? So anyway, having said that, I'm going to go on with the article. The radical environmentalist collectivist UN bureaucrats and socialist political leaders who have dominated the spotlight with their anti-US global doom wealth distribution save the earth appeals would be of little consequence without the enormous financial, political, logistical, commercial, and technical support they receive from the establishment they pretend to oppose. Now, Maurice Strong, his name will come up again in another, at least one other article I have here. Interesting individual. And again, this is 1992 when this article was written. For instance, the Canadian socialist who serves as Secretary General of UNCED, of course we mentioned that that's the United Nations Conference on Environmental and Development, and rants that the United States is clearly the greatest risk to the world's ecological health. Comrade Maurice insisted that a shift is necessary towards lifestyles less geared to environmentally damaging consumption patterns. Of course, when Strong talks about damaging consumption patterns, he exempts his own globe-hopping, champagne and caviar lifestyle and that of good friends like David Rockefeller. Of course, you know, you've no doubt heard of David Rockefeller over the years and conspiracy theories, etc., one of the very wealthy people in America. I just added the note on this guy, Strong, you know, how do you spell hypocrite? You know, well, Maurice Strong. David Rockefeller, yes, that pillar of international banking and leading insider of both the CFR and trilateral elites. And then it talks about a book that was recently published, which, of course, isn't recent anymore, so I'm going to move on. This book couldn't appear at a better time with the preparation for the Earth Summit. The book's titled Beyond Interdependence, The Meshing of the World's Economy and the Earth's Ecology. There's the title. Strong provides the book's introduction. So Maria Strong wrote the introduction to the book. This book couldn't appear at a better time with the preparation for the Earth Summit. That was the Earth Summit back there in the 90s. Now we've got the World Government Summit right now, 2018, 2019. It will help guide what he's, and a lot of the same things, of course, being claimed about the environmentalism, etc. It will help guide what he says are decisions that will literally determine the fate of the Earth. The Earth Summit, writes McNeil et al., will likely be the last chance for the world. Okay, well, that was our last chance back in the early 90s or whenever exactly that Earth Summit was. Long time ago. Anyway, might be the last chance for the world, in this century at least, to seriously address and arrest the accelerating environmental threats to economic development. National security and human survival. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Let me just throw that in there. Chicken Little. That was a famous quote of that famous theologian, philosopher. Anyway, you know, the sky will be falling, but it's going to be the judgment of God, and not the manufactured, fake crises that these globalists are trying to push on everyone. That is the same apocalyptic theme that has been repeated innumerable times in environmental Jeremy adds by everyone from David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, Helmut Kohl to Francois Mitterrand, Willy Brandt, Mikhail Gorbachev, Ted Turner, Jane Fonda, and Tom Hayden. Boy, we're going back a ways, aren't we? Of course, Jane Fonda, she claimed to be a Christian. I've talked about that. Actually, she was a Gnostic and wanted to be clearly known. Oh, no, I'm not one of those Bible so-called Christians. No, that's because she's a Gnostic, part of the Gnostic cult, a neo-Gnostic. So anyway, moving on, another example, consider Lester R. Brown of the CFR, supposed anti-establishment eco-fanatic who heads the very influential World Watch Institute. One of the driving forces behind UNCED, UNCED, his best-selling book, of course this goes pretty far back, 1972 book, World Without Borders. Do we ever hear anything about borders these days? How we should, you know, not have borders, right? Let's all just let everybody all flow together like the Tower of Babel, one big happy human family, instead of being in different nation states as God arranged after the Tower of Babel fiasco and the rebellion of mankind at that early point in history in Genesis 10 and 11. In this book, he proposed a world environmental agency without arresting the deterioration of the environment. Well, because arresting the deterioration of the environment does not seem possible within the existing framework of independent nation states. Yeah, let's get rid of those nation states. His super agency would first assess the impact of man's various interventions in the environment. And then, once the necessary information and analysis is complete, tolerance levels can be established and translated into the necessary regulations of human economic activity. His books and statist solutions are hyped by the CFR-dominated media and CFR academics, while the big CFR-controlled foundations shower his think tank with millions of dollars. The next section of this article, New World Agenda. Building an environmentally sustainable future, Brown now says of the Earth Summit's mission, requires nothing short of a revolution. This would involve restructuring the global economy, dramatically changing human reproductive behavior. Something like homosexual marriage, maybe? Read into it. This author, of course, is saying read more abortions, sterilization, euthanasia, and altering values and lifestyles. Of course, there's your homosexual agenda, of which I've been speaking a lot in previous podcasts, Harvey Milk, etc. In the State of the World, 1991, the annual Doomsday Report by the World Watch Institute, Brown says that the battle to save the planet will replace the battle over ideology as the organizing theme of the New World Order. And with the end of the ideological conflict that dominated a generation of international affairs, a new world order shaped by a new agenda will emerge. The world's agenda will, he informs us, become more ecological than ideological. In the new age, he notes in Shirley MacLaine-style jargon, for those of you who remember Shirley MacLaine, the infamous new age promoter, diplomacy will be more concerned with environmental security than with military security. Yeah, I would say, because they're still pushing this environment, they're beating this environmental drum, aren't they? This man who wrote the article, he says, how prescient. How did he know that a few months later, the New York Times would be reporting favorably in an editorial, The New World Army, March 6, 1992, that the UN Security Council recently expanded the concept of threats to peace to include economic, social, and ecological instability. That's easy. It's the insider party line now. Goes on to say in the article, there are many pieces of evidence that could be introduced to demonstrate that the entire environmentalist movement and all of its phony crises have been created, promoted, and sustained by the insiders for the singular purpose of conjuring up a credible, terrifying menace to replace the fear of nuclear holocaust as the primary impetus for world government. And then, of course, I have a note with a question mark. Iron Mountain? Question mark? As we'll look at this article in a minute, or maybe we won't make it this week, but we will be looking at another article concerning the Iron Mountain book. New paradigm shift, and this is closing out the article now. The first came at the end, talking about paradigm shifts. The first try came at the end of World War I with the League of Nations. If only the nations of the world would come together in unity and surrender some features of national sovereignty to a world body, went the siren song, the scourge of war would be vanquished. It almost flew, but not quite. The United States was protected by ocean moats, you know, we had oceans protecting us, between us and Europe, etc., that made armed invasion unlikely, and the spirit of independence still ran strong in American blood. The second try at world order followed World War II with the establishment of the United Nations. The arrival of the atomic bomb, together with CFR control of the White House and growing CFR influence in the media and the Senate, had given the insiders the combination they needed to get the UN Charter ratified. But the UN was still just half a loaf. Significant vestiges of national sovereignty still presented real barriers to full-blown world government. For 40 years, fear of the bomb was used by the insiders to keep America tied to the United Nations. For if we dared leave, went the argument, there would be no alternative to armed confrontation with the Reds, or the communists as they were called back then, the Reds, the result of which could be global annihilation. Coexistence was our only option. World governance. Now, we still have a little time left, so I will get my foot in the door on an article concerning this book, Iron Mountain, that was written in the 70s, and very interesting book. Anyway, I'll just jump into it rather than give you much of a... I'll just mention that I've had the book in my library for years, and this article is written by G. Edward Griffin. It's from Freedom Force International, and the title of the article is Report from Iron Mountain, which is also the name of the book. Report from Iron Mountain, Using Fear to Make People Subservient to Government. That's not the title of the book. That's the, you know, subtitle that this individual put about this book called The Report from Iron Mountain. It says that the substance of these stratagems for the weakening of the United States so it can be more easily merged into a global government based on the model of collectivism can be traced to a think tank study released in 1966. So it goes back, I said 70s, actually 60s, called The Report from Iron Mountain. Although the origin of the report is highly debated, the document itself hints that it was commissioned by the Department of Defense under Defense Secretary Robert McNamara and was produced at the Hudson Institute located at the base of Iron Mountain in Croton-on-Hudson, New York. The Hudson Institute was founded and directed by Herman Kahn, formerly of the Rand Corporation. Both McNamara and Kahn were members of the CFR. The self-proclaimed purpose of the study was to explore various ways to stabilize society. Praiseworthy as that may sound, a reading of the report soon reveals that the word society is used synonymously with the word government. Furthermore, the word stabilize is used as meaning to preserve and to perpetuate. It is clear from the start that the nature of the study was to analyze the different ways a government can perpetuate itself in power, ways to control its citizens and prevent them from rebelling. It was stated at the beginning of the report that morality was not an issue. The study did not address questions of right and wrong, nor did it deal with such concepts as freedom of human rights or human rights. Ideology was not an issue, nor patriotism, nor religious precepts. Its sole concern was how to perpetuate the existing government. And the reason I'm bringing this in to play here is because one of the things that they considered was the environmental crisis idea that, oh, you know, this is going to be a threat to all of mankind, so maybe we can keep people in fear and under their control by this fear of global warming or climate change or, oh, you know. So it's just interesting that these ideas in this book, as well as in these global summits that I've been talking about. Moving on, finding a credible global threat. In time of war, most citizens uncomplainingly accept their low quality of life and remain fiercely loyal to their leaders. If a suitable substitute for war is to be found, then it must also elicit that same reaction. Therefore, a new enemy must be found that threatens the entire world, and the prospects of being overcome by that enemy must be just as terrifying as war itself. The report is emphatic on that point. Allegiance requires a cause. This is from that book, report from Iron Mountain. A cause requires an enemy. This much is obvious. The critical point is that the enemy that defines the cause must seem genuinely formidable. Roughly speaking, the presumed power of the enemy sufficient to warrant an individual sense of allegiance to a society must be proportionate to the size and complexity of the society. Today, of course, that power must be one of unprecedented magnitude and frightfulness. The first consideration in finding a suitable threat to serve as a global enemy was that it did not have to be real. A real one would be better, of course, but an invented one would work just as well, provided the masses could be convinced it was real. The public will more readily believe some fictions than others. Credibility would be more important than truth. I'm just about out of time. I'm going to end there. When we come back, you're going to see one of these fears, suitable threats, and very interesting that they were talking about this in 1966. God bless you all.